I'm Brian.
And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks.
Not that.
Not that. This.
This.
This is R&B Talks.
Indeed.
Indeed. By the way, Reg, wonderful T-bone steak on Memorial Day. Like, I went home and I was all pleasant and warm and cozy and I slept good because I had the meats in my stomach and it was glorious.
Man, I'm just glad that this is a new half cow I bought. And some of these places, they will sell cuts of beef, but it was like a limited time thing where they were like, hey, we have this half a cow available. You know, it's going to go really quick. And it was for like,
jump on the half a cow.
It was traditionally finished versus grass finished, which if you know that it's fine. I'm not, but anyway, and I was like, I'm so hesitant though, because the last half a cow we got wasn't that great. So it was so here we are, we have this, and this was the first meat we'd had off of it.
I was like, good. Those were good steaks.
Yeah. Dude. I was like, look, let's try it. And I was like, we're going to burn through a bunch of steak here, but let's just pull it out and see what, because that's the way we're going to be able to tell.
It was rock and roll.
And I liked it. I was happy with it, dude.
Dude, you made it perfectly. Like, a lot of times you'll order like a medium rare steak and you're actually getting a medium well steak. Yours had the perfect smoky flavor, the perfect pink in the middle. Like, it was top notch. It was top notch. It wasn't bottom.
I appreciate that, man. That was on the griddle.
Yeah.
As hot as I could get that thing. And then into the big green egg at like 225 or whatever.
For the smokage. I liked it.
And if you're having trouble with your mic stand,
it's okay.
Yeah,
my finger rests well there. It's okay. Watch out. We're trying new mic stands today. I'll switch my position. There we go. Oh, see how comfortable that is? And we'll swivel that mic over there.
Yeah, so it's a work in progress here.
Hey, this is the second episode in our new studio. But anyway, it was an excellent steak. I heard you say that you thought it could be better, though. I was like, I'm a little troubled by that because it's a really good steak.
Yeah, but like, okay, I mean, this is the thing. Like, just because I'm thinking of improvement doesn't mean I think it's not good, okay? Yeah. I'm always thinking of ways that I could, like, how can I make this, you know? Because I'm putting it up against, like, Jeff Ruby's or some of the best. I've had, like, whoa steak, right? Yeah. Where you're just like, this is not even steak anymore. It's so good that it's in another category, right?
Yeah.
I've had, you know, when you've had that, it's kind of like you're – it's not that I'm want to be. I'm never going to drage my steaks and have this special herd of cows I use for my, you know, not that crap.
But never say never.
Well, dude, that would take a lot of effort into the beef than I want to, because I actually, you know, couldn't live with that. What we had the other day was just fine. But I mean, look, I food is like one of those things, man, where it just pulls people together. Yeah. Okay, like there is so much into sitting down and sharing a meal with somebody, and it's just barbecue for me is a way that I could latch onto something and like try to be good at it.
Yeah,
and you know, without doing it professionally, mind you, but a lot of times you can do it better on your own than you can professionally, because you're not bound by like how much money you're making, how many are you have to make, because like some of the top barbecue restaurants in the now they get it. Don't get me wrong, there's some of those in especially in Texas that can throw down, but like I'm not trying to. I don't have like, you know, thousands of gallons of barbecue offset, you know, smokers rolling with hundreds of briskets and all that kind of stuff. I don't have to worry about that, you know.
If you do, I'm coming over.
Man, everybody better be coming over.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's good, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Just so
this.
You guys know, Reggie's very humble. Bro can burn like few. I've had his smoked turkey and his brisket, and they're...
The turkey, I'm going to say this right now. You ain't going to get a better turkey.
No, you're not.
I know you just said I was humble, but I'm telling you right now, you're not.
And I don't even like turkey, dude. Like turkey and ham are my least favorite meats on the planet. And if you made a turkey right now, like you make a turkey, I would eat turkey like it was going out of style.
Because it's like if you take the time like I found it's like, and it's also experimentation. Let me get that out. Because like you can, so I finally found a brine that works really well. I have like a specific brine bucket that has, you know, that I can make sure I keep everything submerged. And it's like knowing this, it's this big a turkey. So only brine it for this long versus, you know, there's all kinds of things to it, but like, it's just like when I found it, I found it. Yeah. And I've like kept it. Right. So, it's brine, but brining chain is the key.
Yeah.
It, that is really it. It's the brine you use, and doing that ahead of time is critical for that turkey. Cause really, even if you fried it afterwards, it's going to be fantastic. Even if you put it, on a regular smoker. So, cause how I do it, I put it on the, I use my Big Green Egg.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the Big Green Egg is like magic with moisture and it just helped. I don't know how that like the magic of porcelain and the heat, indirect heating and all that crap it does, but it just, that turkey will not dry out. It's just perfect, dude. And I spatchcock it too. I'll be honest with you. That is different. So you brine it, it's spatchcocked on the Big Green Egg. It goes in there with hickory chips and the lump charcoal, dude. That's real lump charcoal, not any weird stuff. It's real. And it's just, dude, it's so good.
It's very good. It's very good. All right, Reggie, we have to talk about this breaking story, which we don't know a lot about, but I think it has enough weight. We need to discuss it momentarily.
And what story would that be, Brian?
That is that Donald Trump was just found guilty probably around an hour ago from when I'm saying this, of all 34 counts of the charges he was being prosecuted for.
Hmm. Why am I not? I'm just not surprised.
Well, I'm not either. But what does surprise me is this truly is a victimless crime in the sense that every dollar he borrowed, he paid back in full. The banks made money. He made money. And for that, he's facing possible 136 years in prison.
Well, let's be clear here, and let's just lay this out. They have to look. The Democratic Party has got to do something, or they will flat out lose this election with a landslide.
All right, let's be clear. They've already lost this election.
I'm saying what they're trying to do is and look, even if you're a liberal, you can't tell me that you haven't been trying to get Donald Trump off the face of the planet. I mean, that's clearly obvious. And I'm, right or wrong, that's what's happening, right?
Yeah.
So they have to try all that they can. And I have such a distrust for our government in general. Not only just politicians, but no matter what side they're on, but they're good. That I would guarantee. Okay, I'm not going to guarantee, but I would bet a lot of money that freaking that jury was manipulated. So I'm just saying, I'm not buying any of this crap.
Well,
but here's the thing: they're going to try to get Donald Trump away from this election as much as possible.
Yes.
Especially when you see what happened in the Bronx when he came in there and like, yeah, you know, like it's they're in trouble. So I just don't put it past anything that for to manipulate and you know, nefarious means to do things. Right.
Well, that's true. And you also have to really honestly, you have to look at the historical precedence that's been set by him being found guilty. He's the first president to be found guilty.
Yeah.
Of a crime, convicted of a crime, that has a pretty heavy weight of historical significance.
But also to the way business is done, the way and the power of all. I mean, dude, this is
the banks that he borrowed the money from, when they were pressed about this situation, all said, "Yo, we're good. He paid all the money back. We got what we wanted. He got what he wanted. We're all good."
Right.
Like there was no victim in this crime They did try to make this about him paying $180,000 to Stormy Daniels and having her sign a non-disclosure. But the problem being that Stormy Daniels is an adult who enacted an affair with Donald Trump and then agreed to take $180,000 and sign a non-disclosure to not talk about it. This isn't a, she's not a victim either. She willfully had an affair with the president. She willfully accepted $180,000 payoff and with her own hands signed a non-disclosure agreement. So I'm trying to figure out, I need someone to explain to me in all this. And this isn't that I love Donald Trump. I think he's a, I utterly have no feelings for him, good or bad at all. I mean, yeah. I don't give politicians my energy because my energy is valuable to me. But who did he commit a crime against is what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I don't know if this will stick or not. You know, he's going to appeal it. You know, he's going to come back at it hard, but I don't know how looking through all this, you can say there was a victim in all this.
No, dude, it's such a circus, man. You know, like it's one of those things where I look at the political spectrum and say, this is so messed up. We need people in there that aren't freaking yahoos that can do that, are intelligent, that can articulate and speak to issues, that can just look out for more than themselves and what they're going next year and all this stuff. You know, I mean, I forgot what interview it was the other day. One of the senators were talking about like 80% of their time is just campaigning for the next election. 80% of their freaking time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to stay in office. Well, what good is that?
What are you doing? When you can only commit 20% of your time to actual issues, what are you actually accomplishing?
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, look, it's like, again, I say we need good people to run. I have thought about it and I've been asked, and I'm not saying I've been asked by like, you know, important people necessarily, but it's one of those things where I've thought about many times. I just can't see myself being, I really see myself getting in there being so irritated and frustrated and just, I'll just be mad, you know, and that'll affect my kids and my wife and
yeah, don't be mad, man.
I'm just saying when I get that to that point, I'm just not fun to be around anymore, you know? And it's not like I'm not trying, but it's like, it just gets that way. Anyway, I digress. I just think, I don't really care for Trump myself. I really don't. I don't hail him as a savior or a hero or any of that other stuff. I don't really have anything against him either necessarily. Although I wouldn't make the same choices in some cases that he did. I wouldn't do some of the things that he's done, but you can say that about almost like 99% of the freaking corporate entities. Well, you can say that about
99% of the world, man.
I mean,
I mean, you aren't going to meet anybody in your life that if you learn their entire background, you wouldn't be like, I probably wouldn't have done that.
Right? Yeah, something. But anyway, I just think this is such a railroad, and it's just dumb.
Well, and like I said, I mean, I feel like it did have enough impact where we should talk about it for a second. Right?
Yeah,
like
I mean, you know, we'll have more details that goes on. I'm sure he'll appeal, of course. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm sure that there's much more. You know, lawyers that are going to dig into the details about this stuff and yeah, that'll come out. I haven't been following it really that much because I really didn't. I knew what it was. It's just a circus.
Yeah, it's just a big giant game. But
here's another news.
Okay. Lay it on me.
I found out that the antithesis to either a splitting axe or a splitting maul is beech.
Like beech wood?
Yep.
Why do you say that?
The tree I recently cut down, I was attempting to split one of the rounds today. Holy cow. You got to understand, dude. I took an 8-pound splitting maul. Hit this thing as hard as I could, dude. Over my head. You know, grunting the whole 9 yards. That thing bounced off like I hit a freaking just a foot thick sheet of concrete or something, dude. It was unbelievable how resilient and hard that stuff was really.
Beech is one of those woods that the older it gets, the harder it gets. Like it doesn't ever give.
Dude, I finally split one round of it. And so my workout today was quite
challenging.
Oh my goodness, dude. I had to quit when my left arm said no.
Yeah, your left arm was like, we're not doing this anymore.
Oh yeah, it was hurt. It was like it was tinging, something fierce. I'm like, I'm gonna hit this thing again, and it was I'm like, okay, I'm gonna nope.
Nope, you're not hitting that again. Nope.
So yeah, it was that was something, dude. That was something.
Well, but that's good because you've reached a challenge point. So now you have to study beach.
No.
The best way to split it.
No, I'm not studying anything. It's made me mad. It is now my nemesis.
And you will destroy it.
Oh, boy.
You should go get a 12 pound. See how that does.
I don't make it make it, but. Yeah, I took that freaking thing. And I got the splitting wedge like actually stuck in the round. That's how hard I swung that thing. And I grabbed my sledgehammer and I hit the back of it. You know, I pinged that thing to try to get it. And it just like, it was like, if there would have been a face on this freaking wood, it would have been like, you know, oh, it was so bad, dude. I was so mad.
I would have liked to have been there just like behind a tree watching like angry Reggie.
Yeah, dude. I was like, oh,
you cursed it. Didn't you?
No,
you didn't.
No, I'm like, dude, this had mad respect for that thing, bro. I'm telling you.
Dude. All right. So I have had a revelation, Reggie.
Woohoo.
Now I've been watching this show, watch it with my wife. It's called Clarkson's Farm.
I watch it too.
And I just watched season 3 to the end.
I'm like only third episode in, I think.
And as I got to the end of the show. And I don't think I'm giving anything away because you don't watch the show because it has some gigantic conclusion. You watch it because Jeremy's hilarious and I love Top Speed.
Top Gear.
Or Top Gear. And I love that show. I love those guys. They're hilarious.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But so I'm going to give round figures because I didn't write anything down. But they invested in this farm. And in season 3, they really gave it the go, right? They're really trying to make a profitable farm.
Yes, they are.
And I think they invested somewhere around 400,000 pounds. And they had the category split into areas that they had already farmed and the unfarmed areas of the property, which, by the way, good on Jeremy Clarkson. You're going to find out later on why. So for all the work, after he paid the farm employees, after he paid for the equipment, after he paid for repairs, after he repaid for probably insurance and seed and everything else, they had 43,000 pounds left. They got none of it because it had to go for seed and fertilizer for the next year. And it was sort of a object lesson for me. Yeah, as to what all farmers are going through right now, because right now across the world, governments are cracking down on, of all things, farmers. They have put such tight restrictions on farmers in Ireland, Scotland, England. They've taken away all their subsidies, and they're doing the same thing in America. But America has been taken over by corporate farming, which means companies like Tyson and Monsanto and all those companies, they will dictate how farmers farm instead of letting it be a competitive market.
Right. Yep.
And what I don't understand is they're not really protecting us from anything, right? Farmers have never really been a danger. I don't know, even a bad farmer's worst scenario is that his animals aren't very good and he doesn't grow many crops. Right. These are the people that supply right now, if I read the statistics properly, about 70% of the world's food supply.
Yep.
And you want to start to harass, harangue, and limit and handcuff these people and kneecap them at every turn And I was just, I was brokenhearted for what I now know most farmers go through. You don't make any money.
No,
you're living literally a 100% sacrificial life. How is it that the most honorable and most productive and most generous form of living is become so vilified?
Dude, it's a part of the plan, bro. This is part of the freaking global cabal nonsense, bro. I mean, I'm getting in conspiracy theory nut job territory, but I don't really care. It's again, you're trying to really divide the people into classes, and you're trying to do that in a more devastating manner.
Well, but wasn't it? give me a second. Wasn't it? Well, Jordan Peterson said, you know, if you really want to turn people on each other, starve them. It's almost like that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And as a person who's in the health food industry, I can jump on processed foods and all the things that are wrong with processed foods, and I can ride that wave for hours. The things I tell you, you probably know a lot, but yeah. This is my specialty, and I can tell you some things that will probably give you some gray hair that are going on inside the processed food industry. Oh,
dude, and it's been going on for years. We're just now being able to catch up to it, and the public can know about it openly, right?
Yeah,
because it's been going on for so long. I mean, one of the biggest culprits is the freaking cereals that they've thrown out for years and it's just, oh, it's god awful. I mean, there's like it's absolutely poison. And even like in the stuff they use on the crops and stuff from some of these other things that, I mean, it's insane. That binder that is used in some of this, in some of the vitamins and pills and stuff that is actually from sewage.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name of it is. It starts with a C, but it's in like all these different vitamins and stuff as a binder. And it's pretty much just, it's poop.
It's poop.
It poop.
It's poop.
Yeah, it's gross, dude. I mean, you know, that's it is. And then you know, that and lab grown meat. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Get out of here, man. I don't want lab grown meat.
You don't want Impossible Burgers? It's impossible because that's not a burger.
No, I mean, like, you know, it's just like it's so difficult. Like, even if you think about it, like, we would be 100% self-sufficient if we could.
Mm-hmm.
It's a freaking load of time to, like, grow your own vegetables, fruits, raise your own crop. Man, it's a...
Raise cattle.
Oh, dude, it's a lot, dude. I mean, so farmers that have, like, you know, that have cattle ranches and all that stuff, that's a lot of work, man. Not just that, but like, you know, the who do like feed corn and who do soybeans and I don't know, man.
And here's the thing, even in the face of pretty much every government on the planet trying to stop farmers from being productive, they are developing incredible ways to do regenerative farming and create, you know, and get more cycles out of the soil for more food. And they're still being kicked down. I mean, I got off on a deep rabbit hole of reading about this and like went down 100 different avenues. But here's what I think a part of it is. We don't want to know, right? Yeah. We want to eat our McDonald's and eat our Burger King and our Subway and our O'Charlies and fry everything up in fatty oils and do all the things we're not supposed to do and eat our Oreos and all the garbage that'll actually turn your body into a friggin' dumpster. We want to do those things. We enjoy them even though they're killing us. So we don't really want to know. There's this blissful, willful ignorance that's going on right now.
I was reading, and I can't remember if this was I think this was a reputable thing, but I can't remember now, that cancer wasn't really a disease. Cancer is a response to a problem you have in your body.
Cancer cells have to be activated by toxins or by outside forces.
They're responding to the the toxins and stuff in your body, and our way of gathering these in tumors and stuff is to contain that toxin and the poisons and stuff.
Yes.
And once you actually get that biopsy, you puncture it, it goes that you're done.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying, how like that in itself is already you're done if you do. And it's like, well, what do you do? So but it was like cancer is not the problem. It's actually the toxins and stuff that the cancer is responding to. Yeah,
cancer cells have to be activated by something.
Right.
You don't just get cancer.
Because we're seeing cancer elevated, right? Over you can look at statistics and see how it spiked. Cancer is spiking pretty significantly, right? So anyway, dude, I don't know, man. We're in a weird time period where there's like so much technological advancement, yet we seem to still be under this like profiteering, greedy, money grubbing corporate nonsense, and it's just holy cow.
Yeah.
And I'm part of corporate, you know, it's not like that, but I don't like it. So,
well, and now they're linking high processed food diets to early onset dementia and Alzheimer's, because just like the insulin receptors get blocked in your body, which causes diabetes, just like is the same way that the amino receptors in your brain get blocked by high processed food diets. And just like the amino receptors in your, just like the insulin receptors in your body, you can't unclog them once they're clogged. So now you got people coming. They said that the age of early onset Alzheimer's and dementia is slowly getting lower, which means earlier and earlier people are getting and showing signs of these ailments. And they're directly linking it to high processed food diets.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I just don't doubt it.
It's just nuts, man.
Yeah. So, Fody Bakum has a new book coming out next week.
Okay.
What's the name of it here? It's Not Like Being Black, How Sexual Activists Hijacked the Civil Rights Movement.
I'm excited to read that. I'm hoping it'll
June 4th. That'll come out. I've already pre-ordered it.
I actually will probably listen to it.
Looking forward to that. I really appreciate Fody Bakum's take on most things. I mean, I can't think of one time yet that I've disagreed with him so far.
Yeah.
Really cool Christian speaker and thought leader, I would say.
Well, and guys, if you're looking for... I know sometimes when we get into church, ministers tend to get a little in the weeds, right?
Yeah.
And we tend to lose our understanding because, I mean, if you're a minister and you're excited about a subject, you're going to go into that subject in a way that may be a little bit above what the people around you are listening to. And I don't blame them for that. I'm the same way about things I'm excited about. But I've never watched anything from Fody Bakum that at the end of it, I didn't have a clear understanding of what he was trying to relay to me. Like, he is so good at not only relaying the passion of what he's talking about, but being very clear and giving you concise and clear, you know, sources and biblical text and all these things at the same time. It's very rare that you find a preacher that or a minister that is able to give that kind of clarity through their sermon. And he is very good at it.
Yeah. He approaches things pretty well. So he was a sociology major as well during college. So like his book, Fault Lines, phenomenal book, written. It was so well put together, deep analysis and stuff. It was really good. And that's comparing it to a lot of other nonsense I read about, you know, all these other things with the racial issues and stuff. And he called a lot of it out and quickly disproved a lot of stuff. It's really good too. He's got another one. I think I have two that I need to read. They released last year, but anyway, just brilliant guy and has his I'm really looking forward to that one. That's going to be good.
Myself as well.
Yeah.
All right, dude. You told me that Alex Van Halen is selling all his Van Halen stuff. What in the name of burnt pancakes and
man, I just saw, and I don't know. About? I don't know if he's like sick or, I mean, I know he's old. You know, I mean, I know
he's
that
not, he's not young.
I know, yeah, I mean, so I don't know if it's just, you know, he's just getting rid of it. But yeah, he's got a bunch of stuff up, going to be up for auction starting on June 1st or whatever through the 9th or something. And it's freaking incredible. He's got his 5150 tour drum kit up there, and another one he did on other tours up there, like his whole drum kit, right? And I'm just, you know, it's one of those where you're just like, how broke can I be without starving my family? Yeah.
How broke can I make myself without actually forcing my family into slave labor?
Indentured servitude, you
That's
know?
Right.
So, but yeah.
It's strange, man. I'm, you know... It's weird even what 10 years does. And I was talking to a guy I work with, and he's about 10 years younger than me. He just turned 40. And he goes, I'm going to play some classic rock. And he starts playing grunge era music, which now technically is classic rock, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not classic rock. This is not Van Halen, Pink Floyd, Humble Pie. Like this is modern rock. But then I think about it and no, it isn't. That's 30 years ago, man. Like I'm not, but for me, Van Halen was like a defining sound for me.
Yeah. That's dude.
Like, you know, and you know, you have the whole argument of Van Halen or Van Hagar, which I liked both. Right. I mean, they both had merit, but you know, I, for me, it was David Lee Roth, man, in the multicolored jumpsuit. And, you know,
I mean, that whole era though, like that, that whole like hair band rock type of stuff and everything was so like it, that was a little early for me to really be into, because I mean, that would have been what in the middle 80s, yeah. Late 80s kind yeah. of stuff. Before I was really into music that much. So I that came around when I was in high school. I understood, you know, then I was listening to a little bit of it, but I didn't really get into it a lot until later on while I was in a bunch of cover bands. And of course, some of those were doing classic rock and stuff, and you'd do some Van Halen stuff. And I remember doing Hot for Teacher and just in amazement, like the drum part and stuff, and just trying to learn that and everything. That was so cool. And Jump, you know, and playing these Van Halen songs, just cool as all get out.
Well, but I kind of feel like David Lee Roth was hair band before there was hair band. Like he was out there, you know,
yeah,
in the teased up, in the teased up do and the bright colors before the other dudes were, before the Motley Crues and the Wingers and all those bands came out. It was David Lee Roth who was kind of the predecessor to all that, right?
I mean, like it was kind of like, it's not the last. I mean, because I'm saying during the grunge era, you had some really great musicians as well.
Yes,
but you had some of these virtuosic players in that like Whitesnake, for instance, and
yes,
you know, and Van Halen. Well, obviously Van Halen and stuff. John Bon Jovi and all the, I mean, there's all these like freaking insane
Coverdale Page and all that stuff.
Yeah. Just insane. Right. That came out of that. And, you know, it's a real shame that stuff like that, or, and I don't mean like that particular style of music, but like that kind of virtuosic stuff isn't found, you know, it's just silly. Now I say that, and then Extreme had that one. They have that new, is their new, no, I think their new album is coming out soon.
Yeah.
And it's what the singles they put out so far has been really cool too, though.
Well, and, so, but then you look at like Wolfgang, and if you look at the tribute concert to his dad, Eddie Van Halen was a great guitarist. His son is better than he was.
It sounds great, man.
Like they do Hot for Teacher in that. Like there's a, and if you can look it up, look up Wolfgang Van Halen tribute concert to his father. He does that breakdown riff that his father did in the beginning of the song. He's not looking at the guitar. He's smiling at the lead singer, walking around the stage, killing this riff.
Well, so did Van Halen. So did Eddie,
yeah, but Eddie wasn't as mobile, and Eddie would take a lot of cues from the band. Because a lot of times when you're playing that much and that fast, Wolfgang's not, man. He's just kind of in his own world.
No, I get it. But I do think know? I do think that, you know, you can't take anything away from Eddie.
No, though. Not at all. But his son, you know, is like that's his son, in my opinion, is the epitome of a virtuoso guitar player. Like he just it's like it just pours out of him, man. Like he can't help it.
Yeah, but look, there's no genetics that was in play here.
That's true.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
That's true.
You know,
not to mention the fact that Eddie Van Halen was his dad and probably taught him how to play guitar. So, you know,
but I mean, yeah, all the other like really great, like Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, all those dudes even looked up to Eddie Van Halen too. Yeah. And they all did that, you know, it's like, so yeah, that's pretty awesome. But
one of my favorite stories is the story about, I think it was, who was it that was it Dimebag Darrell that went and tried to buy Eddie Van Halen's 5150 guitar, and he was like, no, you're not going to take it. And then when Dimebag died, Eddie showed up at his funeral and put the guitar in his coffin. It's like, if anybody deserved it, he did. I thought that was just a cool kind of story that showed where Eddie was. Like, he was like, I'm not selling it because that's just commercial for me to sell. He says, but this guy really was a great musician, and
I don't know if that was legit. What if he did that for real or not? I don't know.
I don't know. I just heard that story. And I heard that story. If that too, was true. Man, what a move, right? But I also heard stories that Eddie was kind of hard to deal with, right?
I mean, all the greats, dude, are usually hard to deal with, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, who's it? Prince, really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, not because he was high all the time.
Ginger Baker.
Well, Buddy Rich, yeah. There's another one that was, yeah. You know, woo. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those guys, but anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian. So, what do we think about our next little venture here with R&B Talks? Like where do we want to, For the growing audience out there?
Well, I think we want to get, you know, in the beginning, we were very subject oriented, and I felt like that was a good thing. I feel like we want to kind of get back to some of that. There's some things we want to cover. I think there's some important things that we need to cover. Doesn't mean we're not going to have our usual joie de vivre, but
indeed,
you know, we want to talk about some things that are poignant to men. The reason we started this podcast is Christian male perspective, right? In the current world. And there's a lot of things that attach to that. There's just a lot of things that attach to that. And we want to get into that, and we want to get into some things. You know, we've got some topics, some great topics, really good topics we want to go over and things of that nature. But, you know, I think it's time for us to get back to that place where we're really putting some weight on the things that we talk about.
Yeah, I would agree. It's hard for us. I mean, just for everybody out there, it's really hard for us to, like, we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, we are married men with kids and
careers,
and jobs,
and all kinds of stuff.
And you know, I know that my son's band season is coming up, so that's going to be a very busy time for us. And you know, you got your kids are taekwondoing it up, and you know, they're getting older, so they're going to start getting more and more interests and things that they want to get into. But I definitely want to continue to do this in a way that's going to be beneficial and give good information. And I enjoy this. I enjoy my verbal jaunts with Sir Reginald. And, but we want to get back to doing the thing that we set out to do.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, even looking at this week was, I mean, every week's a struggle most of the time to like figure stuff out and do things. I mean, that's the thing, but, One of the other, well, okay. One of the other things to talk about here though, is like, I just want to say like the, how much weight people put on influencers.
Yes.
I think that's a, that's yes. something I really want to touch on.
Well, I think that involves a lot, right? Cause I mean, I think as men, that's a kind of a huge distraction because you've got everything from, you know, fitness influencers who are trying to convince you that you're not good enough to female influencers that are setting thirst traps for men to try to trap them into lust. I mean, it covers so much, right? Like there's this wide and broad spectrum of things. I think it's very important to cover that. As a matter of fact, it's weird that you said that because I was actually having a conversation with a guy at the church I'm attending, and we were talking about how bad of a distraction things like Instagram and TikTok can be, especially for men. Because where I'm not saying that it's not a thing for women, but it's a different thing where women will see things. Oh, my body's not men. We will go down roads of peril to our family and to things that are going on in our lives at the risk of watching something inappropriate or visualizing something inappropriate or getting involved in something inappropriate. So yeah, it's a huge and important subject.
This is why I think we are what we are and kind of why we're here, how we are here. And I know that's a little cryptic, but you know, it's the goal here is not to be some mega viral influencing show or anything. It's just to impact people who listen to this. For example, I've seen a lot of these influencers or whatever, mm-hmm. Destroy their own lives for the sake of the audience that they want to generate.
Yep.
Whether that's like putting out content that's damning for somebody else, or it eventually comes out that's not good for this or that. And I think, and really just to say, I mean, for the layman out there who are just trying to get information, there's good and there's bad. I mean,
that's true.
That's the thing. I think Instagram for me is just a way, cause it, what I view on Instagram becomes more of my feed, right?
Yeah. Same thing with me.
So like, it's just, for me, it's just full of, preaching, a lot of preaching stuff.
Mine too. Mine's sermons,
masculinity. Yeah, a lot of cigar and pipe stuff and
dad things for me. Real yeah. Christian dads is one of the things I follow.
Barbecue,
yeah.
You know, so I don't. I find myself on Instagram now. The one time on Instagram where I just despise is if I want to search for something, because as soon as I hit the search, what pops up is just chicks.
Well, and that's the algorithm for them. They want you in that,
I know.
That rabbit hole. And yeah. I refuse to go down that rabbit hole, right?
So I'm just saying, but like even when you don't look at that stuff, you're still getting pulled into it. And that's just a thing that I think most men just need to be aware of and just need to like kind of guard themselves, which is when they're doing any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't use TikTok. I don't use Snapchat. I don't use any of that stuff. It's really just, I check my Facebook notifications, especially for R&B talks. I don't post a lot because I just don't. And Instagram, looking at stuff and everything else. So, I mean, I get just to lay this out. Influencers aren't exactly true to what really they believe either. So a lot of them have a persona.
Oh, absolutely not. There's so much false information being given by people out there who are putting a fake spin on everything. You know, one of my favorites is when you'll be on an fitness influence page and they'll go, when I really want to burn it down, I do this workout. And as you're reading it, you're like, this is impossible. Let me be clear. They're not doing that workout either. I don't care how in shape they are. You're not going to do 100 sets of biceps. No human can do that.
David Groggins.
I don't think he can.
I don't know.
I would challenge it. David Goggins. David Goggins, if you're listening, I want you to do 100 sets of 12 in biceps for me so I can see that happening. It can't That's be funny. With 5 pound weights. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm just saying. That dude's
but real. He is a beast. But I feel like, but what's more worrisome to me is that we have lost our gauge for common sense so much and logic that we believe they're doing it.
Well, I think we've lost this whole thing of entertainment versus reality, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just for some reason and I think this is more the younger crowd than it is our generation, really. Although we do step in it too, but I mean, you know, growing up where you rode your bike without a helmet, you jumped over all kinds of things and scraped your knees all up and everything else, and went into the creek. You know, that was what you did for fun. It's just, you kind of figure that stuff out, but I don't know. Speaking of influencers though, did you get a chance to see the one we talked about last week with the,
oh yeah, that dude is insane.
Did you go back? Did you go back and watch it?
There's something wrong with that guy.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Like the moment he triggers, he has mental health issues.
It's clear.
He clearly has severe mental health issues. Like not even, because it wasn't even an escalation to a certain point. Like he came out hot and just got hotter, right? Like it wasn't, well, blah, 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 blah. And then goes, no, it was like, no, everybody's y'all horrible. Fat people are got to die. I'm like, dude, are you okay? I'm like, does someone love you? Were you treated poorly by a heavy set person? I'm not really sure why you would snap. And he snapped out. Like,
oh yeah.
And what I love though was the other guy never lost his cool, right? Like he never got that way. I mean, he definitely put up a combative argument in the sense of defending his position, but he never escalated to act like a moron. And what I can't believe even more is I kind of tracked that guy down. This has been consistent behavior from across his influencing career.
But why? This is what I don't understand though. Why is he still an influencer?
Because there are certain sheeple.
This is the problem.
Yeah, there's certain sheeple that are so blind to what he's doing. They just see the guy with the big body and the muscles. They don't see the broken person that's triggering that behavior.
And the other panel, the rest of the dudes, even some of those other guys get off the rails. Yeah. And they were agreeing with this dude totally.
Yeah.
And they also exude issues.
Yeah, like mental health, childhood issues, mental health. Like you could go down the road. There's something wrong with all of you that you would attack. If you truly want to help people, you're not going to attack them. You're going to get to know them and try to figure out a way to help them. You just went to burning down anybody that didn't look like you, and that's not okay.
That's what I mean, dude. And that's why it made me think about the influencer thing and just like, you know, why would we allow even as entertainment? Why is that even entertaining? It's not. It's actually really sad.
Well, I'm going to confess something. I watch funny videos on my Instagram, but funny videos like almost like Keystone Cop kind of stuff, like people falling down and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not talking, I'm saying these type of influencers. But
these type of influencers, and what's really scary is the amount of people that these type of influencers have a hold of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Millions.
More than, I mean, you think about all the people that subscribe to Instagram. I mean, there's one guy on there, I've literally never heard him say anything scientific, and he's got 5 million followers. Like I've heard him say some of the most dreadfully poorly placed, just flat wrong things about nutrition and exercise, and 5 million people are out there trying to do it, and somebody's going to get hurt, right?
Yeah, I think that one, what was the one thing, I forgot what it was called now, something shred or something.
V-shred?
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy's such a con artist.
Yeah.
It's so unbelievable. And he's got guys like Dr. Drew out there peddling for him. And I'm like, dude, you're killing me, man. You're a doctor. You should know better. Right.
It's just, that's what I mean by like, just you gotta guard yourself with this stuff, man. I mean, you gotta use your, I know time, like this is the key. I think everybody's so busy. They don't have time to look into stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe, but you kind of don't have an option. If like, if you want to see something before you go off and like down this, like fully on board with whoever it is or following this person and listen to what they have to say, maybe do a little, you got to do some like digging into it to see, yeah, like, is that really true?
I think there are legitimate influences out there, like Tony Horton, who really does have a very scientific basis for the things that he teaches and is really educated about nutrition. I think he gets shouted out. I think he gets the noise drowns a person that is actually legitimately able to help you. It drowns them out. And unfortunately, there are some good people out there that are trying to do good things and they're just getting buried.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think in general, the point here, those people are out here and there's, for some reason, you all are following them in a big way. And it's like, why? Yeah. There's no, it's illegitimate. It's not even healthy. In a lot of cases. And it's like, no, don't, why are you doing that? You know, it's bizarre. Yeah. And I know men have this thing where we'll spend more time getting ready to go hang out with a bunch of guys. Sometimes we will for a date. It depends on what, cause we're really trying to make sure we're tough and we look presentable. We're like cause we're so competitive with each other about our looks and everything else. You'll do that. I don't do that. I mean, that was when I was really, really young, but you know, nowadays it does for us. It really like,
it doesn't matter.
No. Yeah. And that comes with age. And I'm so glad that I'm, yeah, past that, right? It's so stupid, but anyway, I guess I just wanted to mention that a little bit today.
I think that's something good to get into.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, we're in this space, if like it or not, you know, we're here on social media. Yep.
We are a part of the devil's plan.
Yeah. So anyway, that was on my mind. So Brian, what do we have coming up? Let's talk about real quick. What do we want to
think we've agreed on? I think we're going to cover the Vadi Bakum, sermon on manhood. We're not going to watch it, but we're going to talk about it and give some notes and thoughts.
Yep.
We're going to talk about, you know, we talked about cults. So we could kind of, I met somebody who actually suffered through a cult for like 20 years. And after hearing their story, I can't think of a more important thing to talk about as to help people be aware of those things that are going on. At any given time, there's 20 or 30 cults functional inside the United States. So that's a very prevalent and dangerous thing.
Okay. We'll get into that in the video, but I just want to say this now.
Yeah.
There's some people that call themselves Christians that are in cults.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Sure. Just FYI, that I would consider a cult.
I would dare say that if you're in a church that is willfully being aberrant and dismissive of the gospel, you're in a cult.
Yeah. So we'll get into that.
Yeah.
When we talk about it. So tune in. Okay. So our schedule here, just to lay this out. I think this we're recording this on a Thursday evening because it's just the way things worked out. This will be released by Monday morning, just to let everybody know.
Okay.
And then we're still working out schedule stuff.
Yeah, we are. Yes.
So
it's summertime, my kids are out of school.
Right.
We got some things going on. We're going to figure it out, but we're still going to be here. You know, we're still going to be here doing the thing that we want to do and getting good information out there and getting a little bit more poignant about our subjects, I think. So.
All right. I would suggest and encourage and motivate and what other verb can I use here? Adjudicate.
There you go.
hitting that subscribe button, the like, commenting, do all those things for us, please.
The reason we want you to subscribe, guys, is not because we want to be famous. The reason we want you to subscribe, guys, is we feel like we have a message to put out there and some great things to talk about. And we really appreciate an opportunity for you to listen.
Indeed. We're R&B Talks.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.